What's up, everybody? Michael Johnson here with the Business Choreography Podcast, and I'm excited you joined me today because today we have a very special guest joining us, Dave Newell. Newell, that's it. I got it right. Dave Newell. He even corrected me at the beginning. Dave is on a mission to align the misaligned, connecting leaders with systems that foster outstanding work and personal fulfillment. He collaborates with small business leaders to implement the five facets of business, a small business operating system to optimize processes, foster team alignment around culture, strategy, operations, story, and finances. Dave has coached hundreds of leaders, both nationally and internationally, and has implemented his frameworks for the last 11 years, serving more than 100 clients. Guys, we are so lucky to have him here with us today, and I am excited for you to meet him and hear all the great wisdom that he's going to bring to the table and share with us today. Let's cue the intro and we'll jump right in. Listen, there's a lot to learn when growing and scaling your business.
That's why we created the Business Choreography Podcast, where we talk about choreographing your marketing, operations, and sales into dynamic systems that increase your revenue and your impact.
We'll explore solid business principles and discuss all things that make businesses dance to success with clarity.
We'll help you figure out where the holes are in your business and what you can do to fix them. Think of us as your official business choreographers, aka your insider growth strategists.
Remember, your choreography matters. Welcome to the Business Choreography Podcast. Dave, thank you so much for being on the show today. It is a pleasure to have you here.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Well, we love to start with backstory, so we're going to dig right in and hear all the juicy details. Don't leave any of the good stuff out. We know it's not ever a straight line. It's a winding journey, so we'd like to hear more about yours and how you got to the point where you're doing all these cool things today.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for asking. Yeah, as you said, I mean, everybody's journey is a little different to get where they got. But I'll just start with, you know, when I first exited college, I was a comm studies major. I thought I was going to be a lawyer. I was pre-law. And then I realized that that was going to require, you know, just a deep dive and reading documents. And I like the argumentative side of it. I didn't necessarily like the documentative side of it.
Right.
So I was liked the conversation, the deep dive, the, you know, understanding things, making arguments, logic, all that was good. But I ended up starting my career mostly in higher education and community organizing. And so a lot of what I was doing was getting what I would call kind of like disparate groups, groups that were thinking about different things. So, for example, bringing together a group of, you know, farmers, an environmental agency, and a government agency, and trying to get them to move in the same direction around a particular project. Three entities that don't always play nice in the sandbox, so to speak.
Right, right.
Really where I cut my chops in what I call kind of aligning the misaligned. And that's really the focus of our company, is creating alignment. And right. So what I kind of experienced as a younger professional was, okay, so you want this and you want this and you want this, and those are all different things, but where do we meet? Where do we meet in the middle, and how do we actually kind of get ourselves moving forward? In higher education, I spent a lot of time as a facilitator. I developed a lot of leadership development programs at different institutions. That was really my thing, was kind of pulling together different concepts, theories, ideas, and forming a program. And then investing people in their own leadership development. In about 2012, I started into the consulting world. I got good fortune to work with a couple guys named Pete and Dean, who have a company called Sage Presence. And they really kind of brought me in doing the training and development space. And I was hooked almost instantly. I was like, this is really where I need to be. And in 2014, started Evolve Leadership Consulting. We just had our 10-year anniversary, actually, this last month. So been in business for 10 years. And we do organizational development consulting. And so we look at, as you mentioned in the intro, we look at how a business operates as a system. And our job is to align the different elements of the system. So kind of started in community organizing and higher education. And now I've transferred that into the business world for the last 11 or so years, 10 plus years.
Wow. What a journey. And really, to go from working with somebody else to jumping in and doing it yourself. I mean, that's a big jump. How did you make that decision?
With a lot of fear. and I'm not, I mean, you know, even though I've entered into the entrepreneurial space, you know, it took me kind of doing it as a side job for a long time to really officially say, okay, I've got enough pieces in place. I've got enough revenue on the side. And it probably took me too long, honestly, to jump into it. And then, you know, I would never not do it. I would say I should have done it earlier than I did. But it really was kind of figuring out my own process, figuring out my own flow, kind of what my own identity was as a consultant and what were the problems that I can solve, what was the value that I could add in playing with that. And I did that in a safe way while I was still working in higher education, while I was still working in these other settings. I started playing in the consulting space and really just fell in love with it and really learned a lot. I've had a lot of mentors. I've had a lot of people that I still, you know, communicate with regularly of, hey, am I doing this right? Like, are we on the right path? Are we thinking about this the right way? You know, I've got a client right now that says it's hard to read the label from inside the bottle. And so, you know, you're running your own company, but other people can see it better. And so we, even though I'm in consulting, I also get consulted, right? And I think had I not taken that leap, I would have missed out on a lot of really good relationships and great impact and value add. And there's nothing I like doing more.
Well, we're going to jump into a lot of the cool topics that you work on, and including alignment here in just a second. Mm-hmm. Before we get there, though, you know, you've been in business for 10 years and there is a lot that's changed. Mm-hmm. Technology to how business is done in the last 10 years. I mean, just it's an incredible amount. What do you feel like is the biggest change in, you know, being a consultant, being somebody that's working with businesses on a regular basis? How have things changed for you in the last 10 years?
Yeah, you know, it's a really interesting thing. I'll focus on the technology piece maybe to start with, but I would really say like we do a lot of aligning behaviors with systems. Right. And so really the only thing that's changed in our perspective is that the systems are now just more robust and or prevalent. Right. So I feel like the paradox of choice has really shown up for a lot of small to mid-sized companies. Right. So they might have, well, we should use this software, and then they implement this other software. Now they've got a third one and a fourth one and a fifth one, and they really underutilize all five. Or they kind of partially utilize something, or their spend on software is really increased, but they're not getting the value out of it. So I think the advent of technology has been really useful. And I think some companies do it really well. They know exactly what they need. They know exactly how to lever it. And they know exactly how to kind of manage their expenses with it. But I do think, you know, as every new software comes out, as AI has now come out, and there's a lot of transition happening with that, and folks are trying to figure out how to integrate it and apply it, you know, it just creates a lot of extra noise, so to speak, when really, which is the system that's going to allow us to do the thing we really need to do, right? It's added a degree of complexity, and it kind of forces us to say, all right, let's simplify, let's back up a little bit and say, do we really need the system or not? I mean, candidly, if I looked at my phone, there's probably 15 apps I haven't used in 3 years. But at the time I thought, man, that's the thing I really need in my life. You know, so business is kind of the same way. It's like we think we need all these new softwares. We think we need all this new stuff. And maybe we do. But the real answer, the real question is this something that's actually I'm utilizing? And if not, can I get rid of it and clean it up and simplify it?
Right. I love that. I want to straight away jump into the five facets of business. I'm super curious and I can't wait to hear about your framework around this. I feel like this is so valuable and so important for us to hear. So can we jump right into that and start digging in?
Yeah, absolutely. This is, you know, we've launched the five facets officially in November. This has been a labor of love over the last few years for us in designing and putting forth basically a small business operating system, if you want to think about it that way. What we recognize is that most business leaders address system or symptoms, not systems. So the outputs, the things that you can see, right? So internal communication breakdowns, disgruntled employees, revenue, we're missing revenue marks, leads are down, those types of things, right? Those are the things that we can see. And so most business leaders start to attack those symptoms and they start to address things at the surface level. And what that doesn't do is actually change the outcomes of your business. It's the way to work really hard, hustle really hard, work fast, work with speed, but not actually create a lot of movement in your organization. So the five facets is really a way for an organization, one, to discern where are we, right? Like we like to say, if you go on a hiking trip or you go to the mall, right, and you're trying to figure out, you know, how to get to where you want to go, what's the first thing you look at on the map?
You are here,
right? And so what that means is we can't get to where we're going if we don't know where we are. And the five facets is really, you know, begins with an assessment phase to say, well, you know, when we look at culture, strategy, operations, story, and finance, where are we on the map, right? Where are the pain points? Where are the things, where are those inputs that are leading to those outputs that we're seeing? So the internal communication breakdown, disgruntled employees, missing sales numbers, what are the inputs that are leading to that? So it begins with that assessment phase. And then we take a systematic approach to applying tools, methodologies, practices, whatever it might require to shore up the areas of your business that are underperforming. And as you elevate, even, you know, the old Pareto principle, right? If you elevate 20% of your business, it creates 80% of the impact. What we're looking for in those assessments is, where are those linchpin elements in those five categories that we can elevate to expedite the growth or expedite the positive movement in your business as quickly as possible? So we apply and then we sustain in advance. Essentially, we want to coach you through. We want to make sure that this is a system you can implement and utilize over time. And so you can continue that assessment process. You can continue the application of process, but now you have a system, you have a tool that you can lever for the remainder of your business and to continue to achieve the results that you're looking to achieve.
I love that. You know, you mentioned and you kind of went through it super fast. So I want you to say them again. You mentioned your five.
So. I know. I've said it so many times. It's easy, you know, it's quick for me, but thanks for calling that out. Culture, strategy, operations, story, which is sales and marketing, and finance. And so each of those has a design element and an execution element. And so I'll just use culture as a quick example, right? So a lot of people have a mission or a purpose statement. A lot of people have company values. That's great. That's good. You want to have those things. But where most companies fall short is they don't know how to hold people to those standards. They're not specific enough where you can put in a performance review. They allow toxic culture to take place despite having values on the wall. So we also talk about, well, what are the controllable behaviors that make those values true? Are we doing performance reviews that have incorporated those things? Do we have ritual in our organization that, you know, kind of continually brings our culture forward? So we want to make sure that in every element we've got, all right, how is this, like, what's the actual intent here? What are we designed? Why are we here? And then let's also make sure that we're executing on that on a day-to-day basis. And so that permeates its way through finance, story, operations, strategy, and culture.
I love this. That's great. I'm a big fan of frameworks and I like how you laid that out for us. Have you found that it's difficult, even if maybe the leader is willing, to have the remaining followers get on board once you guys come in?
That's a great question. There's a behavioral element to this as well. I mean, whatever operating system you put into play, whether it's, you know, EOS or scaling up or the five facets, if you put any one of those into play, it's really dependent on, can the leadership team implement this? And so one thing that we've really actively built into the framework is a leadership component. There's a trust component. We've also built in our implementation, coaching, and kind of what we call like project management, so to speak, to think about it broadly. But really our job is to walk alongside you to ensure that you're not only kind of seeing the tools and the methodologies and the processes, but that you're also able to adapt your behavior to work in a way that works for you. And more often than not, when we come into organizations, they're operating in a particular pattern and they don't even necessarily see that pattern and they don't know that pattern, but that goes back to the inputs outputs piece, right? If you have behavioral inputs as well, right? So you can think about that in terms of habits. You can think about that in terms of just how you operate your calendar or your day. And so we do want to dig in and say, okay, well, what are some of those linchpin things you can change from a behavioral perspective that are going to allow your business to transform as you put these tools in place? So it really is the marriage between systems and behavior.
I love that. We believe so much Obviously, this is called the Business Choreography Podcast because we believe so much in the choreography of things and the value and importance of it. And I feel like, you know, as a listener, go back and listen to that, what he just said again, because there's so much of the choreography that he's talking about. It's not just about the step in the show or the move that they're doing in that one dance. It's about the choreography of the whole dance put together and how that choreography of that dance fits into the entire show. And what you just described sounds a lot to me like that. Is that, do I have that accurate?
Absolutely. You know, there's certain things in your business that have an end and certain things that don't. And so one of the things we try to distinguish is the difference between complicated and complex.
Sure.
So complicated things, think about those as technical things, right? Like if you're a software programmer, developer, and you build a software program, you can get it to do what you want it to do, right? And it'll just run that program. Well, that's a technical thing, right? So like we can teach that, we can train that, we can repeat that, we can do that over and over again. So you can have certain things like that, right? So you might have automated email messages or workflows. Like those are technical things. Those are things that we can say, all right, we can implement this and it's done. And we don't really have to think about it anymore, right? That's just executing. And then there's complex things, and complex things typically involve people, right? Where they don't have an end. So even if we get a really good meeting structure in place, well, the behaviors in those meetings are going to change over time, right? Because the situations and the context and those types of things change. So we want to make sure that we're equipping folks with not necessarily thinking about things as, well, you know, we implemented that meeting structure, so we're good. We never have to talk about it or think about it again. It's like, okay, sure. But not really, right? Like actually, this is a thing that we need to continually develop and practice over time. And so actually one of the things that we put into play early, one is those five, we have five leadership disciplines that we think about, and we put those disciplines in place. And we basically say like, look, if you want to sustain your business in a positive way, you have to be able to do these five things as a leader. I'll quickly just say those five things. Let's see if I can remember all five off the top of my head. They're a little bit more complicated than the other ones. But number one is make it small, right? Can you take big ideas and can you make it tangible for your team? Number two, can you champion the narrative? Are you just on repeat talking about this is who we are, this is what we stand for, and this is where we're going? And you'll almost have to be ridiculously repetitive about it, almost to the point where you're annoying, right? But you have to champion the narrative. You have to be the one telling the story. Number three is to systematize. So to think in systems, how do we actually put this into systems, which is where the five facets kind of comes in, to prioritize. So if everything's urgent, everything's urgent, right? If everything's a priority, everything's a priority, which means we're not actually making choices about things. So you have to actually be able to prioritize. And then the last one, and I think probably the most influential one over time, is what we call leverage tension. What we mean by leverage tension is what's in the way is the way. And as a leader and as an organization, you have to build the capacity and the propensity to go to the hard places and to know what you're going to do when you're there, right? So the five facets of business operating system is coupled with this leadership philosophy. And when you put those two things together from a behavior and a systems perspective, you're actually kind of taking care of both sides of that equation.
Love it.
The dance, as you said. I like
that.
The
dance.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So when you get a leader that gets on board and they decide, yeah, we want to do this and we want to move forward, do you ever run into the leader actually not wanting to participate and they want their team to do all the stuff you say? And how do you handle that?
You know, that's a really good question. Actually, I don't run into that very often. It's the leader who initiates it because they can see something and they've hit what we refer to as the complexity threshold. Which is, man, this just is like over my head at this point in time. I don't know how to do it. Yeah, I want the team to do some stuff, but like, can you help me see? Can you help me figure this out? I know I want to do this, that, and the other thing. I want to achieve this goal. I want to make this happen. And we want to grow this much. But man, I'm so bogged down in, you know, internal communication breakdowns, or I'm so bogged down in this employee stuff that's going on, or whatever it might be. And so they often are the ones that invite us in, and almost quite opposite to what you say, where we tend to run into problems is ego. When somebody might say, yeah, we want to put this system in place, but they don't buy into the system, right? They actually start going down the path and they think they can do it better on their own, or they're really kind of resistant to any of the change. So we kind of think about that as, okay, so you want to achieve the possibility that you can see, but you're actually adding kind of negative possibility to your team. You're saying, well, we tried that before and it doesn't work. It's like, okay, well, that's actually a way to resist the shift. And the problem is no longer, do you have the right operating system? The problem is actually you, because your inability to accept the fact that your organization needs to operate differently is the barrier to you being able to operate effectively moving forward. Right. So as a leader, you have to be able to adapt. You have to be able to say, hey, you know, we've done it this way for a long time, but we have to, you know, the business folks in the room, the MBAs will, you know, sunk cost, right? It's like, it's a sunk cost. You've done it this way. It taught you some lessons. It's a thing that you learned, but now you have to be able to let that go to be able to operate in this way because it's more effective, better, et cetera. And so, you know, that complexity threshold that I referred to is where we often meet organizations is when they hit a little bit of a plateau. They've been growing, they've been getting some advancement, they've been moving forward as a company, and let's say that number is $3 million. They got to $3 million. And now at $3 million, they've kind of been stuck there for 2 years, a year, and they're just, now it's kind of moved into, man, we're not growing like we were. We had all this momentum. And there's often a mentality shift that takes place at that point, which is we have to move from the big dog operator flying around solving problems mentality to the system scale and simplification process. So that letting go is you've gotten actually fairly complex at that point in time, but you also now have to simplify and remove and reduce and modify and scale and organize in a way that's going to allow you to get to 4, 5, 6, 7 million, whatever that target might be. And so I think that place is really difficult. Like, that's a really scary, challenging place for a lot of leaders. So I have a lot of empathy for it. And it's also one of the main behavioral challenges that we run into on a regular basis.
Sure. Would you say that that's probably one of the hardest parts for you guys to choreograph, or is it something else that you guys find is more difficult to choreograph?
It is really difficult to choreograph, even though each person, you know, even though we know it's there, each person kind of deals with it differently or has a greater degree of resistance to it. It's really honestly why, you know, from an operating system perspective, you know, people can implement the five facets on their own if they wanted to. Self-implementation is an option. There's certain elements that you can apply, and that's great. And that's totally fine. That is a way to do it. But it's a huge reason why we recommend a coach, because why we built coaching into the implementation process, because you can't see your own stuff sometimes. You can't see how you're in the way, or you're unwilling to see how you're in the way. So our job is to say the hard thing, right? Our job is to poke at the hard things, is to say, hey, you're behaving in this way. How might that be affecting or creating more problems moving forward? Our job is to call that stuff out. That's where the outsider looking in can really add a lot of value. And again, that's why I have people doing that for me. I know that there's things in my own business that I'm not seeing, or there's things that I have blind spots on. And having somebody on the outside say, hey, you're resisting this thing, even though it's the right thing. Where's that coming from? It's like, oh, yeah. Okay, I need to deal with that. So it is, you know, it is the hardest part for us to choreograph, as you put it, right? There's no kind of, well, follow these three steps and you're fine, right? Because I can say that, but it doesn't mean you're going to follow them, even if I had them, right? So like, it is that dance a little bit, as you put it, you know, between coaching somebody into their own brilliance, so to speak, and also allowing them to put in a system that works.
I love it. Well, how can people find out more about what you're up to and how they could get involved?
Yeah, thank you for that. The best way is to go to fivefacets.biz, biz, B-I-Z, fivefacets.biz. On that page, you can learn a lot more about what the five facets are, but really the best way to get into it and to learn is to take our free assessment. The assessment is 26 questions. It's a 5-ish minute survey, depending upon how long it takes you, but it's about 5 minutes, 26 questions. It's totally free. And what that'll do is it'll show you, you'll get automatic results. And what it'll show you is, you know, kind of where you are on the map, right? As you look at your business, just where are we? we're here. And then from there, you can decide kind of how you want to engage, but it's absolutely the best way to do it. The other thing you can do is you can click on the workshops tab. We do have workshops coming up where you can engage and start to experience some of those materials. If you're more like me, where you just want to experience it, touch it, taste it, try it, that's a good way to get engaged and learn a little bit more as well.
I love it. Can you leave us with some final words of wisdom for our journey? We appreciate all that you've shared so far, but any last words of wisdom you can impart to us?
Yeah, thank you for that. I one of my favorite quotes, and it's a little bit of like a no duh kind of quote, but I think it speaks volumes to how to address your business, is the system is perfectly designed to produce the results that it's producing. So when you think about that, if you're getting results that aren't working for you, it means that your system is designed to do that. So you have to change the system. You have to actually step back and say, what are those inputs that we can change that are going to lead to different results? So you have to change the inputs, and that'll lead to the difference in the output. So that's a quote we use a lot. That's a quote we live by. So thanks for asking. Hopefully that hit the mark.
I love it. All right, guys. Thank you for being here on today's show. We appreciate you so much. Don't forget.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. All the listeners, keep choreographing your business, all parts of your business. So go check out what Dave has for you guys, and we'll see you guys on the next episode. Thank you so much for being here, Dave.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It was great.
Thanks for joining us today.
Want more business choreography?
Check out our website at bizchoreo.com to find out more.
And find out how the choreography for your marketing, operations, and sales can raise your revenue and create more impact.
Remember, every business needs choreography.